Thanks, Hamilton. Today, I just wanted to give you also a bit of a different perspective, an engineering industry perspective and a construction perspective. I've got to apologise up front. I've got a few engineering terms and references and physics references as well, so I might lose some of you along the way. But historically and unfortunately, still today, in many disciplines of engineering, in the engineering industry, we've been challenged by a balance of gender. It's very unequal at the moment, and more broadly, a distinct lack of females being interested in engineering. Things are changing, but there is still a disparity in terms of the balance that we have, particularly even more so in leadership and board positions and management positions. You might have noticed on the way here, I'm not too sure if you saw the CFMEU rally there. It was a bit like spot the woman in the high-vis jackets. In very similar ways to the IT industry, we have a low representation of women. But what's more concerning also is that when women do join the profession, that they don't tend to stay very long. A lot of women drop out, particularly when they start their families. When they've got no support by their employers, they have no alternative options, and also through businesses that have got bad workplace cultures where they have to try to fit into a blokey culture, which is very difficult for them to stay in that business, and they often take alternative options. The other thing that I've noticed in our industry is that the balance of women at various different levels changes depending on what roles they have. So we have many women involved in HR, in probably the soft people side of the business, and also in administration areas as well. So we lack the pipeline into that technical area, and also obviously that flows through into the management area. If I look back on my early education, my career choices, they were very much shrouded in gender biases, often very quite conscious gender biases. But today I see that that's improving a lot. There is the momentum, and many secondary schools and universities are starting to embrace that, and I'm sure we've got the two leading tables represented here today that are looking at that issue very seriously. But I still think there's so much more that we can do in early education, and we need to have a very consistent, non-stereotyped gender dialogue about what potential future careers there are available to our kids. And that's what we need to see as an engineering institution, to get more people, to get more women into those positions. But there is change, there is momentum, and there is less resistance. Flexibility is a major contributor to one's work and life. If we offer more flexible options to people, they can balance their work-life stresses and their time management and all those external factors in managing their positions and also increasing their continuance in our industries. So workplaces that are embracing flex are thriving, and it helps break down workplace stereotypes. Some of the flex opportunities are the job share arrangements, part-time hours, options to work from home, or in my case, it's just the variability of being able to pick up my kids, having start and stop times, you know, that flex. But it's about engaging more with my kids, which is fantastic, but it's also about sharing the responsibility as well. So we need men to also embrace that more. We need more men to actually get involved in embracing flexibility. So we need to share the care, and we need that father time. In a study, around 60% of men said they wanted more flexible work, but there was a distinct lack of support from their senior management. The study found that men were twice as likely as women to have their requests for flexible work denied. And this is an issue. So if men are going to embrace this as much as women, we need them to get those options as well. And it's very much oppressive for both of the sexes. So ultimately, if flexible work's going to work well, it's got to be about mutual trust, between your employee and the employer. So, after a number of years discussing and debating this topic, you know, have we stalled? Is there enough momentum? As an industry, I think we haven't stalled. We've probably only just started, to be fair, and that's a great representation down the road of where we are currently. And I think that's more so a legacy of the structures that have been in place for a long period of time. But when you go to some of these new job sites and work environments, you will see a real change that is actually happening on the ground. So there is that momentum and there is that change happening before us. So in our business, WSP, we're doing this by increasing the awareness across many levels within our management teams, and not just as a moral responsibility, but we recognise that the value of diversity, the value to our culture, really, and also the economic benefit associated with that. I'm going to talk with my engineer's hat on now, some basic physics. Momentum equals mass multiplied by velocity. So if we have more motivated business leaders and champions advocating and working towards a non-gendered workforce, we have the mass. If we continue the velocity of action and the conversations to help break down those stereotypical landscapes, then according to Newton's second law of motion, we will maintain momentum. So another factor is to ensure that we tackle the resistance. So to complete the physics lesson, if the force is greater than the resistance, motion will result. So as business leaders, we need to find ways to engage more broadly with those that are in opposition or the resistance. Over the last few years, many organisations, such as ours and many of the varied industries, have participated in developing a series of tools to assist all sorts of businesses and guides to tackle those sorts of resistance. Groups like ours, the Chiefs for Gender Equity, that's the plug, and many others have developed these tools and they're available on our website. So in conclusion, the challenge that I have for all senior leaders out there is if you haven't already, please embrace these tools, learn from them, and we need to keep continuing this momentum collectively to assist in managing this issue moving forward and dealing with that resistance. And I guarantee that you'll see the benefits once you start to engage and have those conversations. Thank you.